Hey, I'm gonna push you just a little bit. I want to encourage you. I want us to take just a few seconds, and I want us to exalt the Lord, not in words, but in sound. Whether it's the clapping of a hand, a shout, a stomping. I mean, we can sing the beauty and the harmonies, and all of that is great, but I guarantee you, I don't have enough giftedness in me to sing on key, to sing in tune. And yet the Lord loves my sound. He loves our sound. He loves our jubilant exaltation of Him. Amen. So I want to encourage you. It's just a few seconds. Let's just, the worship team will play in the back, but I want you to exalt the Lord, not just by singing those words, but with a sound. And it can be a shout, it can be a clap, it can be a hallelujah as a word, but a stomping. Yeah, just exalt Him. Yes, Lord. A laugh. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're worthy of it all, Lord. Woo! Come on. Oh, that this place would never grow silent, Lord. That we would never be silent. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, 10 more seconds. Just raise the volume in this place. Yeah! Yeah! Anybody got a shofar this morning? Is there a shofar in the room? Somebody blow the shofar. Come on. A ram's horn, if you don't know what a shofar is. It's a ram's horn. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on. Thank you, Karen. Yeah, come on. Let it ring. Oh, Lord, let the trumpets blast. When the word talks about the sound of the trumpets, it's that sound right there. One more time, Karen. Come on, when that sound was heard, there was two things that happened. Either a great jubilee, a great sound of exaltation, a great expression of freedom and worship. Come on, because that's what it meant. Or the second one was a call to arms. Pick up your sword and let's go. So let's just do both this morning. Come on, pick up your weapon, pick up your sword, pick up the word of the Lord. Come on and speak to the enemy right now and say, you are under my feet. There's no more despair, there's no more joyless nights, there's no more torment. I have heard the sound of the Lord and I am rising up. I am standing above. I'm coming into a greater revelation, a greater glory, a greater understanding of who I am in the Lord, of who we are as the born again believing church. Come on, we hear the sound today, Lord. We hear the trumpet being sounded. We're filling heaven with our jubilee, our exaltation. And we say, Lord, let there never be a silence. Let there never be a silencing of the saints on earth. Let us triumph until the end. Let us be the church that calls His return. We say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We have our sword in hand. And Father, we've got our exaltation and our worship activated in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, come on. Come on, hey, would you raise your hand this morning? Yeah. There's conditions. Come on. I love it. You're so quick. Raise your hands and they all go up. Hey, if you're here this morning and you know that you're just feeling like, man, there's just this little bit of push just to get over the edge, or I feel like I'm just there. Chad kind of hit on this morning. Like you just get into that place where you're having to return to be thankful. If that's you this morning, we want to join with you in pushing you over. Now, maybe we'll lay hands on you and maybe you'll get pushed over, but just in the spirit, would you raise your hand if you know you just need this morning just a little umph, just a little push? If you're in that place right here, thank you. Yeah, just raise your hand and we're just going to join. You're going to see the hands go up. Come on, we just join with them. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that right now for our brothers and sisters, for those that are here this morning that know they're on the precipice of stepping into something greater, coming up the hill and now it's coming into the glory, coming into the revelation, coming into the wisdom. We join with all of heaven on your behalf. And we say, come on, let's go. We champion the call with you. You are worthy. You are valuable. You are more than able in Christ. And we join with all of heaven today. And we declare over you, let this be a breakthrough moment. Let this be a breakthrough moment. Let this be a breakthrough moment where thanksgiving breaks open new doors, breaks open heavenly revelation, breaks open a path that you've never seen before. We encourage you today. We stand beside you, behind you, and around you in such a manner that we say yes and amen to the call of God in your life. Yes and amen to the things that you have in your heart that God has been hearing and working out through his grace. And so we join with you. Now the rest of you, let's just all raise our hands. Father, we thank you, Jesus, for those that have been in our life, that have encouraged us to keep going, that have been there at the right time in the right place. We return to you, Lord, today, and we say thank you for them. Thank you for those men and women that were faithful to steward your word, that were faithful to hear my heart when I was broken, faithful to help me overcome, to walk through recovery, walk it out, Lord. We thank you that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, but we are restored in the glory of Jesus. We are restored through the thanksgiving of who he is and where he is seated in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, would you bless one another this morning? Lay a hand on them if they're okay with that. Welcome them, get to know them, greet them. Man, we're just championing. Oh, come on. It's a good morning, amen? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we honor our worship team this morning and just thank the Lord? Amen. The Lord's obviously doing something. We believe that. We believe he's always doing something. But if the Lord's touching you this morning in such a manner, I want to encourage you. Just stay in that place. Just allow him to continue to minister to you. If you want some prayer at the end of service, we'll make prayer available. We can dive in a little bit deeper. If you know that there's more to uproot and to dismantle and you know, pull out so that God can then come in and plant, let's find some time. Let's make sure you got some people in your life that can help with that process because that's what he intended. There's great things that happen when we're alone, but iron sharpens iron. And when somebody can step into your life in such a manner where they can walk with you or you can walk with them, the fruit is awesome. And that's what the Lord intended. And I just sense a word of encouragement from any of you. You may have been walking through things by yourself, and the Lord wants to change that today. He wants to change that path. It's been a season, and maybe for some of you, it's been a necessary season just to really walk, you know, some things out and kind of walk it alone. But I feel like this morning, for some of you, it's time to get other people involved. It's time to get people involved that are serious about seeing your deliverance, that are serious about walking things out with you. Because how many of you know we all have those friends that, you know, they call us when it's moving day because they need an extra set of hands. And they know our friendship's there. We can help move boxes. But the day you start to confess, it's like, I don't know what to do with that. And I don't know that I want to be around that. Or, you know, just the weirdness that happens sometimes in our relationships. And so we definitely need those people that can be there when we are moving. And then you really know who your friends are when you call them and say, hey, I'm moving. Ah, you know what? I'm out of town. I'm busy. You know, I hope that goes well for you. You know, those comments. But then there are those people that are different, that really they're capable. There's a grace on their life to help navigate and walk things out. And my prayer for you and what I would encourage you to consider praying is, Lord, bring people of wisdom into my life. Because it's the wisdom of the Lord that helps us untangle, strategize, and get into a greater understanding of what God's doing. Just out of curiosity, I won't do any more than this, but raise your hand if that word ministers to you. If you just feel like there's something going on in your life where you realize, you know what, it's time to get some other people involved. I won't call you out any more than that. I just want to see if I'm even connecting. Okay, thank you. Amen. There's a handful of you. Well, again, my encouragement to you would be let's make sure we got some people in your life, whether they attend here or just others that you trust, because I just really sense that this morning. Thank you. These are always those awkward moments where it's like, oh, Lord, what do you do? Like, announcements? Yeah, Lord, thank you for the grace, because I'm a little amped right now, and it's good. It's a very good thing. Just join with me. Heavenly Father, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man, thank you. It's so good. Oh, Father, I pray that that spirit of thanksgiving that's on us right now in this place would truly, Lord, it brings restoration, as it was said there and just acknowledged out of Luke 17. Lord, restoration. Restore, restore, restore. And even that beautiful picture that you gave, Chad, of just understanding restoration, it's returning. It's returning. It's returning. It's returning to that place of faith, hope, and love that we've been talking about. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the evidence of that grace this morning. And I pray that as we continue to move on, Lord, that you're not done, that this is just an igniter. It's turning it on, and now let it flow, you know, let it pour out and fill our week and change our sleeping habits and change what our days even look like because of thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Hey, I want to invite you back tonight. We're going to be back here at 6:30. We have about 10, 11 churches that have partnered together to do our Together We Pray gathering. We've been doing this the last few years. Some of you have come out. It's a simple evening in that we pray. We'll start off with a couple songs of worship, and then we have lead pastors from different churches that'll take a topic and address it. And then we break up into small groups and we pray, because again, our belief is that we're not just supposed to be spectators. And so it's not okay, you know, I just got done praying and you listen and you agree, and that's great. That is kingdom. But it's activating your voice. And so in our Together We Pray gathering tonight, we're going after a lot of different subjects. But the beautiful thing is that it's in the spirit of unity. And so we'll have, like I said, we have 8 pastors that'll be on stage, but then a handful of other churches that their pastors just weren't able to join us, but they've announced it. And so I want to invite you back. We'll be here at 6:30 to 8. And we'll be gathering in such a manner to pray. I do want to encourage you, and we'll make this comment tonight. Not all our churches that are part of what we're going to do are charismatic or Pentecostal churches. And so we do just carry a spirit of etiquette and honor that we really allow grace in the non-essentials, and we ask for grace in the non-essentials. So specifically speaking, one of the non-essentials for us theologically with other churches is the need to speak in tongues. We believe in it. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. I don't believe anybody that's gathering tonight would walk out on our gathering, but I definitely know we have theological differences, but it hasn't hindered our unity. And so if we can just have grace, what's an essential? We're committed to essentials. The essential is Jesus Christ is Lord. The essential is that he is raised from the dead and that his blood atones for all our sin. So upon that foundation is where we're able to find our expression of unity. And so I want you to come out. I want you to feel free to pray. You might end up in a group with other people that are from a different church. And so just be aware of that as we welcome them into our house and we host this tonight. Amen. A few other announcements that I do want to spend a little bit of time, and then I'll pass it on to Pastor Mike, and we'll release the kids and pray for our offering, is that we are coming into the season of Easter. It's April 17th. We made this announcement when service started. We'll be doing service that morning, and it'll look a little different. We're going to fill this room with tables. We're going to have breakfast for you at 10 a.m. There'll be some background music. We're going to run it very similar to something that we've been talking about for the last few years, and it's called Dinner Church, where it's an atmosphere where the meal is the source and the center of the conversation and the connection. Pastor Mike and I will lead you in some communion, and we'll have that, you know, some roundtable discussion. But the hope is for you to have an encounter on a Sunday that is in the likeness of realizing this is how Jesus discipled. This is great. I mean, we love this. This is the way to disseminate information to a lot of people. But staring at the back of someone's head is not kingdom. I mean, heaven is not going to look like that. And till then, we endure, right? But we are able, since we removed pews and went to chairs, do some things in this room that we haven't been able to do before. And one of them is to come into this expression of gathering around a table as the body of Christ. And so that's Easter Sunday. I know some of you've got plans. Others of you have family. We're really hoping that it'll be an opportunity for you to invite family in, come have breakfast with us, and then we're going to take communion and get around a table and have that experience. But Easter is actually in the season of what biblically is known as Passover. And so there are some dates on the screen, I think, for Passover. The one that's on the screen right now. If you've never been part of a Passover meal Seder, the actual ceremony, the expression is around a dinner, and that dinner is known as a Seder, which simply, the word Seder means order. So there's an order to the meal, to the process. Our Monday morning ministry under Lou Fife, Shiloh, is going to have a Seder. Though it won't have the meal that you eat, it'll have all the elements of the meal. And she does an incredible job of teaching through it. If you've never been to a Seder, if you've never even heard about a Seder, it's an incredible experience. We used to do them for years, rent out the Lewiston Community Center, and, you know, 200, 250 people come out. And we do the full-on meal, and it was always awesome. But what it gives you insight into is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That every component of the Seder speaks. The Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. Passover was a shadow until Jesus fulfilled it, right? Pentecost was a shadow until, again, the Holy Spirit was poured out. The Feast of Tabernacles are still a shadow because they speak of Jesus' return. So these seven major feasts are important for us, and they're dear to my heart. And so on Monday, April 18th, you can come and experience that. It's in our fireside room. But on Friday night, we're going to be in here on April 15th because it's the start of Passover, and it's also known as Good Friday. It just so happens that this year, these two correlate at the same time. But we're going to do a worship gathering and a short teaching and impartation on the blessings of Passover. God gave 9 promises that if the Israelites did these things in their Passover Exodus, these would be the promises that they'd experience. Guess what? Because they were covenant promises, we've inherited the blessing of those promises. And we're going to pray through those, address those as part of the weekend. And then Sunday morning, we're here at 10 a.m. with breakfast. And then the last few announcements, these are all in your bulletin, but I am taking some time. After Passover, after Easter, there's 50 days, right, to Pentecost. So Pentecost is 50. So 50 days from Passover, we get the next feast, which is Pentecost. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. It was when Moses got the 10 commandments on Mount Sinai. It all correlates to our faith. During that time, we at this church are going to offer a 5-week series called The Holy Spirit And. And what we want to go after on Wednesday nights from 6:30 to probably about 8 in our fireside room are 5 weeks of teaching, coaching, and activating an understanding and an experience with Holy Spirit that pertains specifically to your prayer life, to the baptism, you know, feeling the Holy Spirit, activating that, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, healings, and evangelism, and how the Holy Spirit will minister to us and convict us to go evangelize. So if your understanding of Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God needs some building up, this series would be a great thing to attend on a Wednesday night. We have all myself, Pastor Mike, and Josh, and Jennifer, we're teaching it. Each week will be a little different. We're bringing in some friends and just going to minister to you. But our hope is that we would grow in our relationship with the Spirit of God and understand Him in a different way than we worship or connect. And for some of you who are new to us, this is a great opportunity for us to go a little bit deeper and for you to figure out what we're all about, because it's a smaller setting, it's a more intimate setting, it's a more hands-on setting. And so again, if you're able to free yourself up on a Wednesday night, we want to invite you to come and join us for that series. It starts April 20th. And then the last two announcements that are in your bulletin, and you can ask more questions later and find some information out by the grid, is that for you men, there's a men's conference coming up. This is a multi-church sponsored men conference at the end of the month. It's called Strong. We haven't done it in a few years just because of COVID, but we're excited to bring this back. So wives, encourage your husbands. Husbands, be encouraged by your wives. Come out. It's a Friday night and 9 to 4 on a Saturday. It's a great weekend. It's over in Clarkston at Abundant Life. This year I have the grace and the honor of being one of the speakers, but it's really about encouraging you men to recognize how strong you are and the calling you have in the Lord. And so for some of you who are looking to get other people involved in your life, this is a great opportunity. And then the last one is for you women. We host a ministry outside of our church. It's called Fragrance Ministries. We've been doing this for about 6 years with this group. They come in, and we just announce it. And so it's a women's conference. Many of you have been to it. This year, Robin Hood is speaking. I love it every time I say her name. I've known her for years. Robin Hood is our guest speaker at this women's conference. It's a great opportunity, again, for you women to connect. It's a Friday night and Saturday setting. It's $30. It's right in this room. There's a lot of outside people that come in from Spokane and other areas because it's a regional ministry, Fragrance Ministries, and we're just honored to host them. It's something that I would encourage you women to invite other women to, invite your friends to. There's incredible testimonies every year of the way God works and ministers. And so that's some things that are coming up. Amen? Awesome. Let's pray for our kids. We've switched the Sundays. Normally the first Sunday of the month, we keep the kids in, we do breakfast, but we're moving that. They're going out and they're all going to stay in for Easter Sunday. Kids, why don't you come forward? We pray for them. We love kids being in our service and being part of what we do. We believe it's about experiencing and exposure. And so do we just have three little ones this morning? Oh, there we go. Oh, a few more. Awesome. Hey, as the body of Christ, would you bless them and just look upon them? Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our children. Father, we thank you for our teachers, and we pray grace, 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 Lord, as they are in a culture that they were made for. Father, they were made for this time and this season to be influencers of this culture, and we pray that, Jesus, you apprehend them in such a manner that, Lord, even at this age, their friends would come to know you, that their neighbors would see a difference because they preach the name of Jesus and the gospel and the good news in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen? Awesome. Have fun, you guys, this morning. Thank you. Get your offering out. If you have a tithe or offering this morning, we're going to pray over that. And then there's buckets up front and in the back, and anytime this morning, you are welcome to drop that off. As a heads up, you are able to give anytime. We will never stop you from giving, just so you know. So when you show up first thing in the morning, if you want to drop that in the offering bucket or little Home Depot buckets around, you can do that. During worship is a great opportunity to come while you're worshiping. You may see people come up and put their offering in the bucket, or there's a box in the back. I'm joking when I say, you know, we'll never stop you, but what we want is generosity that flows out of a spirit-led life. And so this morning, the way I want to pray over your offering and encourage you to pray is that generosity, that spirit of generosity would arise. We all have needs. A lot of us may be dealing with debt. And so there's responsibilities of taking care of our household. But then there's also the blessing of obeying God and watching him then change things in the household. And so with that, just if you just have your offering, Lord, we thank you for the beauty of our gathering. We thank you for the location and the things you've given us to steward. And Father, we come this morning and we bring our offering. And we thank you, Father. And Father, I pray that generosity would arise, whether you're giving or not this morning. We pray that we would be a people who see through the lens of generosity. That, Lord, we would be prompted by you, Holy Spirit, to give when you call us to give, to obey in our giving, and to discover the reward and the fruit and the blessing that comes when we walk in the spirit of generosity. And so thank you in the name of Jesus. We pray that our lights will always be on, Father, that we will always preach the gospel from this place, and that, Lord, there is more than enough to go around the world and equip the missionaries with the good news to preach the gospel in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Well, grab your Bibles, grab your journals, and let's welcome Pastor Mike this morning.
Hey, why don't you grab hands with the person next to you, just real quick. Just grab hands with them. And just pray this prayer. Lord, fill my friend with hope. Baptize him in hope. Would you just take a moment and just bless them with that? Yes. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is more than power. It's baptism in love. It's baptism in hope. It's baptism in joy. Yeah. It baptizes us wholly and fully. Father, we thank you, and we ask, Lord, for a filling of hope today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. I feel like I got a ring or a... Am I a little hot maybe, or in the monitors or something? Hey, thank you for doing our sound for us today, brother. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Awesome.
We're in 1 Peter. And we're talking about hope, which is one of our three core values. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these are love. Faith, hope, and love will always be. It never leaves. It's eternal. That's why we want to give our lives to the things that are eternal. This will all pass away, right? This will be gone one day, be renewed. God's going to take this planet, going to be baptized in fire, and he's going to create a whole new earth where all corruption is going to be removed from the earth. And you think our earth is beautiful now? Wait till God does it again. It's going to be awesome. But what we're walking through now is we need to be people of faith, hope, and love. Continual growing and maturing in faith, hope, and love. Trust, belief, confidence in God. Love for him and for each other. You know, I can love God, that's pretty easy because he loves me. Now, how about loving that person next to you sometimes? Ask my wife. I am so lovable. It's amazing. And right now we're on hope, and 1 Peter is important. I've realized that there's some things from Scripture that I can glean. I can glean because it's inspired by God from everything. But there are things in the Bible that because of the current situation, it speaks louder. So again, the context of 1 Peter is this. Christians are not suffering persecution to the point of death, but the pressure's on. There's an insane emperor named Nero, and he keeps pointing to Christians for the problems of Rome. And so he is increasing the pressure by saying this: either begin to worship me or you can't work. Either begin to worship me or you're going to lose your home. Either begin to worship me and come in line. Just fall in line. All you do is take a little pinch. Hail Caesar. You know, just Caesar is Lord. You can do it quietly. You know, I don't care. But you are going to, if you don't do this, you're not going to be able to feed your family. Do you feel the pressure that would cause on your life if at work your boss says, either you have to cheat to make a profit or you can't work here anymore? What do? You got a mortgage. The Avista bill doesn't take faith's payments. This is the pressure that's starting to take place on Christians in the Empire of Rome. Listen, we're not there, but do you feel the tension? Do you feel the pressure? I don't have any hate toward anyone. I can love everybody and fully disagree with them. Because I disagree doesn't mean I hate them. It just, I don't agree. And I can still love. So if you are a person here who has a certain lean of like in a political agenda, I love you. I might not agree with you, but it doesn't mean I can't love you. Can't mean we can't have a conversation, and on and on and on. But it's become this point now where if you don't agree with me, you're a hater. I'm tolerant as long as you agree with me. And we're feeling that pressure, aren't we? Aren't we kind of sensing that pressure where laws are being on the books? You know, if I can just take a moment. Last week I talked to you about in Maryland that they're trying to pass a law where They're debating a law where if a child is born, if the parents don't want them for up to 28 days, they can neglect that child after they're born without any kind of lawsuit against them. And it's called being progressive. But you know what? Rome was doing that at the exact same time that Peter's writing this. This isn't new. Rome would actually, if parents couldn't feed their children, they were having kids but not enough food, or they didn't want a girl because girls don't work as hard as boys, they would just take their child and put them in the backyard. And they would die. But guess what Christians did? They went and they collected all these little girls and they raised them. And about 20 years later, there was all these little boys who didn't have any wives. And guess where the little boys went to find the little girls now, who are in their 20s? They went to these Christian communities to find wives. So what I'm saying is, missionary dating is okay. That's funny, I think. But the Christians, what they did is they took these babies and they raised these as their own. Because you got to think longer and you got to think bigger. So last week, let's review just real quickly. Last week, biblical hope is based on something that doesn't change. Earthly hope is this. Hey, man, I know you're sick. Positive energy sent your way. I hope it works out. Hope it's good. And that gives you really nothing. Because hope is not a hope it works out. Good luck. That's not hope. That's wishful thinking. Biblical hope is based on some facts that don't change. Biblical hope gives us a context for life. Pastor Jeff, yesterday, he performed a part of a funeral. He led the funeral service. And guess what? This is the last thing this thing could happen is a person could die. But as Christians, we have a hope. Because it's not the last thing that happens on the earth. The last thing that happens is Jesus brings all the dead in Christ back to the earth. So we have it called the greatest hope. That we don't die. We actually live like we've never lived before. So 16 years ago, my father passed away from this earth, but he is alive like nothing I could ever imagine right now. That's our hope. So hope gives us, biblical hope gives us a context for life. And if you lose hope, you lose your context. I'll never change. This will always be the same. This pain will never go away. I'm always going to be, and it's not. This is not what hope gives us. Hope says there is always a tomorrow. And God is always faithful. Okay? Everybody good? Four things real quick. We're living in a cultural moment. There's a bigger story. This is a moment. This isn't the whole story. We're living right now in just a moment of time. But the story goes bigger than the moment of time. We don't get to choose the moment. We get to choose how we're going to live in the moment. We need to be people of hope in our moment. Secondly, Jesus has risen. Say those words with me. Jesus has risen. If I were to say to you, Jesus is risen, your response would be, he is? Very good. Excellent. He is risen indeed. Because he is risen, Paul says this in Corinthians. He says, if Christ has not risen from the dead, we're still in our sins. And he says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied above all men. But because he is risen, guess what? All of your sins have been forgiven. And I will tell you something, this might shock you, some of you, even the sins you haven't committed yet. Because forgiveness doesn't come through your words, forgiveness comes through the cross. So Jesus has paid for all of the sins of humanity on the cross. What is our response? If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to purify or cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's why he is risen, because all of our sins are forgiven. Would somebody say amen to that? Yay! Yay! Third, real quick, he is Lord. Say those words with me. He is Lord.
He is Lord.
Say it again.
He is Lord.
Declare it. He is Lord. Whether people believe that or not, it's a fact. He is Lord. And we looked at Philippians chapter 2. It's because Jesus Christ abased himself, became this, like us, obedient to death on the cross, So God gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess, what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So what we have a hope in is right now, Jesus will one day fully occupy this planet. That's our eschatology. But right now, he hasn't abdicated the planet to anybody. He's Lord right now. It's not like Satan and God are like in this cosmic battle and they're equal. God is like, no, I'm in charge and I'll tell you what you can and cannot do. That's the book of Revelation. It's fantastic. God's the one who says, here are your limits. This is as far as you can go. Why? Because he's Lord. Okay, fourth, you are right now where and when you're supposed to be. God needs you in this valley right now. He's not saying, oh gosh, you're a mistake. No, he chose you and you are right where you're supposed to be right now. And so now it's not like, oh God, I hope I can make it. Or this, what about my children? What about my grandchildren? What kind of world will they inherit? Hey, listen, God needs your kids and your grandkids in the world right now because he's got an assignment for them. So it's not like, oh Lord, take me out. It's, oh Lord, what do you want me to do? Let me ask you a question, or no, let me make a statement. On Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, invite somebody to church. Say, would you like to go have breakfast at our church? Well, what are you going to be doing? We're going to be having breakfast. Come and have a meal with us and sit with them around a table and have a conversation with them about Lord. If you got a neighbor, if you got a family member that's going to be in town, just say, come and have breakfast with me at our church. We want to invite you. It's kind of an entry point of saying, come and just celebrate Easter with us and see what God will do, because he is risen and he is Lord. I think that's good stuff. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Got a few thoughts, and then we'll pray for you. Say, when you're there, say, I'm there. Say, it's on the screen. Thank you. Thank you, Marnie. Let's unpack this just a little bit. 1 Peter, book of hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the next? Right after Christ, you see that punctuation? What is that? This isn't just a small greeting like, oh, welcome, I'm going to write you a letter. Praise be to the God, Lord. No, there's an exclamation point. There is this declaration to these people who are starting to feel the pressure. Hey, listen, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Declare it, proclaim it. This is a big deal. So can we read with a little bit of energy in our voice? Can we read those words together and proclaim and declare what Peter just wrote? Can we do it together? Here we go. And do it with some energy. Here we go. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now he has a direction. Why do we do this? Here's why. Because in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's that story again, that resurrection. He has given us, through his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he gave us this new birth. He was the one who came after us. He was the one who came searching for us. He was the one who said, I choose you. Even when you and I were marred by sin, even if we're, if you remember the last week, even when we were gross in sin. Remember gross last week? Vocabulary and dictionary, or how they both mean the same or different. You and I, when we were not the A people, when we were losers because of sin, God says this, I choose you. Here's the reality, and here's, I say this so many times, but in our world where there's so much false teaching, how you know there's a false religion is this one thing. If you have to work hard to get God to love you, that is a false religion. Because God says, I love you before you even love me. So every false religion, I don't care. It doesn't matter what title, what name. It is all the same thing. You have to work hard. You have to sacrifice. You have to give. You have to do all these things in a hope that God will love you and like you. That is false. God says, I love you. Even before you were born, I loved you. So praise be to the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has given us new birth. Do you know what you and I, when we were born, we were very passive in that. I didn't help my mom out to get born. She did all the work. I was just born. And God has done the heavy lifting for you to be born again. He's the one who gave his son to die on a cross, and he rose from the dead. Why? So that you and I can have new life. Praise be to the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ. And next Sunday, or two Sundays from now, we need to really celebrate the resurrection. We need to really celebrate because the resurrection proves that Jesus is who he says he was. He is the one who said, I will die and I'll rise again. And guess what? He did. Our hope is not based upon circumstances. Our hope is based on these facts that God has given us new life and a living hope. I love this word, living hope. Because living hope doesn't mean you just get hope at salvation. It means it's alive in every aspect of your life. It means that it's working in every time, in every season of your life. The hope is alive and it's active, working in us. See, new birth isn't just to have a new, like a baby, a new birth baby. It doesn't stay a baby. This baby, the goal of that baby is to grow and become mature. The goal of that baby is to become an infant and then to become a teenager, then to become. And every part of that season, there is a living hope that God is working in that. And guess what, guys? This hope matures us. I'm going to write a book. I'm thinking about writing a book called The Life and Trials of Lucas Michael Richardson. Lucas Michael is one of our youngest grandson. He's going to be 2 in June. And boy, that kid's gone through some really tough stuff. He comes into our house and he knows we're Nanu. They get to choose the names, we don't. Where Nanu keeps the snacks. And Lucas comes into the house and more times than not, he'll walk over to the shelf and he'll go, knack, knack. Can't say the S yet. Knack, help Nanu, help Nanu, knack, help Papa, knack. And we say, ask your mom and dad, which is the greatest thing in all the world. And mom and dad say, no, no, we're going to have dinner. You can't have a snack. And the trials and tribulations of Lucas Michael, tears form in his eyes. The lip quivers. The injustice, how unfair it is that he can't have a snack. And he cries. And as adults, we look at him and we go, oh, kid, this is not even close to what life's going to be about. Right? If this is as worse as it gets, life's pretty good. But guys, Peter's going to get to this in a moment. The reason you have to have hope is because without hope, you don't understand why you're going through a trial. Can I be bold enough to say this? Trials are actually necessary for you to grow up in Christ. Now, I don't celebrate them. I don't say, oh, God, bring it. I just want more. I don't do that. But without hope, you go, what's happening to me? Why is this happening? What's going on? This isn't fair. Life's not fair. What's going on? And hope teaches us, and Peter's going to get there in just a moment, there's a reason for the trials you go through. There are reasons why you go through injustice. There are reasons why it's unfair. There are reasons, even when you make a wrong choice, God can give you hope that he's going to make it all good for you. Everybody okay? I'm so glad you're here. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Let's look at that real quick. Romans 5. I love how Scripture interprets Scripture. Just a second, let me finish this, and I will love to talk with you, brother. Thank you, my friend. You've been a friend of mine for years. I love you, brother. I encourage you to read the whole context. Verse 6 of Romans 5, you've been chosen by God. We're going to look at that. Peter's going to go back to it in verse 1 or verse 2. Verse 6, read context, guys, it's for time I'm not. Verse 6 says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more having been reconciled shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. God on his part has reconciled the world to himself. But not all the world is reconciled to him. Because we have to confess our sin. We have to repent. In God's view, he's forgiven every sin of the world. But our hearts have to respond to that for us to be saved. And we got to understand this to have hope. God chose you and he never regretted the choice. It wasn't like when I was a kid, when my brothers played basketball in front of our house. And I was the last one to be chosen. And it was like, okay, I'll take Mike. But Mike doesn't count. Do you have a moment? Can we have some therapy for a moment? This is huge for us to have hope. Because sometimes, we're going to get to this in a moment. Sometimes we think when things are going wrong, God, what's wrong? What did I do wrong? God, are you there? God, do you care? God, do you love me? God, and God says, listen, I chose you. I'm the one who chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I don't know why I'm emphasizing that, but maybe somebody needs to hear that today. Let's go to verse 4, and we're almost done. Which means nothing. Sad but true. And in my fifth closing, and so we've been Christ, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in this last time. Today's must-have item is tomorrow's yard sale. Everything fades. Everything goes away. That new car smell, it doesn't last. Especially if you got kids. That new house, that new, oh man, it just fades. Everything fades. Everything goes away. Everything doesn't last on this earth. But what lasts is the inheritance that God has in store for you in heaven. Listen, this is really important to have hope. You got to think longer and you got to think bigger. There is an eternity. There is a forever. And what we do on earth matters. It really does. Why are we going after faith, hope, and love? Because these are eternal things. And God says, I'm watching my children, not with an angry eye, but he's watching his children, and he is storing for us forever an inheritance that will never fade, never spoil, will never go away. Amen. Ever. Amen. Your life matters on earth. And as I'm in Revelation as well. I've got a number of things running through my head. But one of the things in my study of Revelation, God never says this in Revelation. He goes, I'm coming back, so do a lot of work. Get busy. Here's what he says. Here's what the key to Revelation, one of the keys to understanding Revelation is this. Who will you worship and who will you be loyal to? To understand Revelation, one of the keys is who will you worship and who will you be loyal to? When push comes to shove, who will you worship and who will you be loyal to? You see, it's an eternal perspective. There are injustices on our earth. There is unfair things that happen. There are things that will not be reconciled here on this earth. But there will be a time of reconciliation when God makes all things new. And he's the one who gets to determine when that will be. Without eternity, we have no hope. In fact, listen, one man said this. Think about this for a moment. Without Jesus, this is the best it's ever going to be. Right now. It's never going to get better than this right now if you don't have Jesus. How's it going? Right? I got to say it again. This is as good as it is without Jesus. And here's one of the things we're wrestling with as followers of Christ. And Peter uses two words in chapter 1, verse 2. He says, you're elect strangers. An elect means a personal choice where God chose you. We ought to deal with that. This word stranger means this, a sojourner who's traveling through a strange country. And one of the things that we are feeling right now as followers of Christ is that this isn't our home. We all sense this isn't how life is supposed to be lived. The strangest place I've ever got to go to was India. And it was strange. The smells were strange. The traffic was strange. There were animals on the road everywhere, strange. I walked into the hotel where we were staying, and this lady greeted me by hitting me right in the forehead. She goes, welcome, poink. And I went, well, that's strange. And she put a red dot on my forehead. I guess it's a Hindu custom of blessing or something. So I walked, hey, how are you doing? Poink, hey, welcome. And I was like, what? And someone goes, hey, you got a dot on your forehead. And I'm going, what? What? That's strange. Customs were strange. We arrived on a Saturday. Sunday morning, the pastor goes, hey, you're preaching today. Oh, okay. And this lady goes, would you pray for my husband? I said, absolutely. Got an interpreter. And so I asked him, I said, sir, do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? And he goes, and I go, would you like to know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? And he didn't respond. I go, so I asked her, does he know what I'm talking about, knowing Jesus Christ? And she goes, and I go, so what am I praying for here? And what people failed to tell me was that in India, this is yes. So I'm thinking this guy's saying no all the time. Do you want prayer? Well, then why did I ask me? What's going on, right? And it was just, and so depending on what part of India, it's like, you know, bobblehead going on, right? It was strange to me. It's like, yes, 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 not. It was strange. And though it was great, we got a chance to minister to people. We saw thousands of people come to Christ and got to pray for them. It wasn't home. And maybe you do like my wife and I do when we get home from a trip. We take our luggage, we put it in the house, and we go, and I wonder if that's what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. The first sound we make is this. I'm home. There's no injustice. There's no broken relationships. You don't have to say goodbye to anyone because they died. You don't have to work hard to make relationships work. You don't have to wrestle with, I wonder what they meant when they said that. And we live in a culture and a time, we live in a moment where this isn't it. We feel it. We sense it. But let's let Paul tell us about it. Go back to Romans chapter 8, and I'm almost finished, everyone. Which means, see how it works? It's kind of like Jeff goes, hey, raise your hand. And we go, okay. wait, you can't raise your hand right now. That was awesome. Again, I encourage you to read the context, but Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So we've been adopted as children, yes, we've been chosen by Jesus, but there's going to come another moment when Jesus takes us and all this. Listen, if you wake up with an injury like I do, you're my people. I woke up the other day and my finger, I felt like I broke my finger. And all I did was, God, I just fell asleep. You know, what's the deal? As we are getting older, do you feel like that? Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So though this body is getting old, and though this hair is falling away, and though this stomach just won't leave no matter how hard I try, inwardly we can stay youthful and Christ-like. And Paul says this, it depends on, in 2 Corinthians 4, it depends what you look at. What you see is temporal, but what you don't see is eternal. So we're going to fix our eyes. We're going to fix our thoughts. We're going to fix our heart emotions. We're going to fix ourselves on what is eternal. Because this isn't all there is. And Paul says, compared to what it's going to be like, it's not even worth mentioning about the suffering we're going through. Don't even talk about it, how great the glory is going to be. How wonderful it's going to be with Jesus. It's like, let's compare this. It's like Lucas going, knack, knack. And we're like, kid, you don't even get it. What it's going to be like, we're going to one day say, why did we even concern ourselves with that? Why was that even an issue compared to what God has in store for us? If we lose everything, which I hope never happens, if our country just goes south, which I hope doesn't happen, and I'm praying it does not. Well, there are some folks, there's a theology, well, let's pray that way so Jesus come back quicker. Okay, booger picker. I mean, come on, let's think about it. Sorry, it's just kind of like, man, you got to think a little bit harder than that. You start doing eschatology study, you hear everything. And about 90% of it is just like, oh. I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's going to be on tape too, and people are going to be like, booger picker. Jeez, Mike, come on, think about it, son. And Peter follows in it by saying, we've been shielded by faith. We've been shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. This thought is, God is on garrison for your life. God is like a guard over your life, and he never takes a break. He is a guard over your life. What is our response? It's our faith in the one who guards our life. Our faith in, I was thinking about this week. And I'm going to be real honest with you, and I hope it's not too honest. I went through a season of my life where I told the Lord, if I don't wake up tomorrow, I'll be okay with that. Because it was dark. And so all I could do was this. I'm just going to choose to trust you today. That's all I got. And thank God he saw through that. And here's what I came to understand, though, in a deeper level than I've ever known before. I really believe this stuff. Not because I'm a pastor. Not because I teach. Because I learned the God who's trustworthy. And I really believe that he's faithful. And nobody can talk me out of it. And the other thing I learned, nobody can keep me from loving Jesus. Nobody can stop me from loving people. Nobody can stop me from saying, I trust God. I don't care the argument. I don't care if I'm considered a wackadoo. I don't care. Nobody can stop me from loving Jesus because I know this is true. And Peter doesn't say you're going to be protected from harm on the earth, because he's going to go in the next verses, which I'm going to let Jeff teach on persecution. You're welcome. Good cop? Better cop. Well played, sir. Well played. He promises, trust me, I'll get you home. Trust me. Nobody can take you out of my hand. Trust me. Just trust me. No matter what you're going through, even now, just trust me. I'll make sure that you get home. Whatever life brings of disappointment, of discouragement, unfulfilled expectations, whatever you thought you were going to be here by this time in your life, and you're not even close to it, just trust him. He'll get you home. Why? Because he's made a covenant of, I've chosen you. You're mine. Trust me. If you trust me, just trust me. I'm shielding and I'm guarding for you your life. And though you go through difficulties and challenges, though you go through hardship, trust me, you're not gonna stop there. I'll make sure that you get all the way home. Yeah. So Peter's got to establish this so that he can go into the next verses about grief and trials. And why? Why? So, what I've learned in my few years of serving Christ, one of the things I've learned, and I think it's a lot like the disciples, where Jesus says in John chapter 14, he goes, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they treated me this way, they're going to treat you that way. In John chapter 16 or 17, he says, in this world, you're going to have trials, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And I can't tell you how many times when it actually happens, I'm surprised. So Jesus lays out, right before he goes to the cross, he goes, guys, here's what's going to happen. Roman's going to come get me. They're going to beat me. They're going to strip me down. Fake trial. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to rise from the dead. And the disciples go, no, that's not happening. Peter goes, no, that won't take place. We'll all go to the cross. We'll die for you, Jesus. Know the story, right? And he goes, okay, you know, sure. You know, he did three times and he's out. How many times Jesus laid it plainly for his disciples, and then when it actually happened, they were like, oh, what happened? What took place? And don't we do the same thing? Can I read you one more verse? I'm in closing. I love the word. I just, yeah. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. See, there's that eternal thing again. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So if someone comes up and insults you because you're a Christian, praise. That would be a weird response, wouldn't it? Praise God. Thank you. Appreciate that. You are just a homophobic, weirdo, Christian radical. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. What? Our first response in suffering is not usually praise. Our first response is why. And Peter goes, let's look at the word here. If you're going through difficulties and trials because of you're a Christian, that means God's glory is rested on your life. And you who don't belong here are challenging a world that says this is normal and you're not. You're a peculiar person. And Peter says, rejoice. Praise God. Celebrate, because it's the evidence of God's Spirit resting on your life. So what we're doing during this series in Peter, Peter says, prepare your mind for action. We got to be ready. We got to be these people who are like, hey, we see that, we see what's happening. We pray it changes, but if it doesn't, we are ready for whatever God has, because we have hope. We know what God is doing. And when someone says, hey, man, you're fired. Why? Because I'm a Christian. Praise God, the glory of God's on my life. And God's shielding me right now, and he's going to make sure that I get home. Okay, stand with me if you will. There's so much more. But I'm actually, oh, come on, people. 40 minutes. Wait a sec, wait a sec. Nah, it's too expensive. I don't want to do that right there. I've heard Christians that say, man, I'm ready for the end times. I'm going to get me some food and guns. And what? You're going to kill somebody if they want your food? At least pray for them beforehand. I have no trouble. Get food. Do your thing. But this is the preparation that Peter's telling us about. If we are trying to keep what we have here, our minds are not there. This all goes. So we have got to be a people who live now, whether the way things seem like they're going, whether they go there or not, it doesn't matter. We are preparing our hearts now to be these people who carry the Spirit of Christ in our lives in a greater measure. And it comes how we look at view, we view life. I'm telling you, as you read 1 Peter, you're going to get mad. Because one of the things that Peter says to these Christians who are suffering, hey, honor the guy who's causing the suffering. Wait. You want me to honor Nero? Yes. Don't make sense unless you look through the lens of hope. So this is going to push you. I hope it does. It's been pushing me. Hopefully it challenges you, because we have to be ready to look at life in a different way than how our earth looks at it. And Peter will equip us for this if we allow him. So, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, life is not going to get any better than this. This is the best you're going to get. So, that could be pain, that could be sorrow, could be good times. You could have plenty of money, do what you want to do, right? But this is it. But with Christ, we get life here, we get reason and purpose here, and also we get eternity with God. Look me in the eye, everybody. He's coming back. Okay, now, not to go get me out of here. That is part of it, but that's not his purpose only. His purpose so that we live a life that's ready for his return. That we have this anticipation. It could be tonight while we're praying at 6:30. Oh, Lord, would you just come to our valley and why don't you just come where I'm at? It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. Where the shofar is blown. That's not the right. And in a twinkling of an eye, just that fast, we're gone. That fast. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm not talking, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Great, that's awesome, cool. But are you living the life of hope? That you're anticipating his return by the way in which we live. Because the reason why you're here is there's people who need to know that Jesus Christ is coming. And you're his messenger. Wow. Wow. So, Would you all pray with me? Because it's the sincerity of the heart. It's not anything but the heart condition. And if you mean this prayer from your heart, well, even if I'm leading it, it's not my prayer for you. It is leading you into a prayer for God to come and dwell, Almighty, dwell in your heart. When we all join and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. You have bought all my sin on the cross. You've paid for it all. And I receive it with gratitude and thanksgiving. Your word says, if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and purify me from all unrighteousness. So I receive that today with gratitude. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you need prayer for hope? Jeff, do you have anything? If the ministry team wants to come forward, we're going to pray for hope. Listen, I understand the dark night of the soul. There's no shame here. For me, it was a few years of just dark, dark. Follower of Christ, love Jesus, that wasn't the issue. There were some things that happened to me that just, there was so much I was losing hope. But Jesus remained faithful. Maybe you're not there. Maybe you say, Mike, I'm doing pretty good, but I feel this lean toward, I'm just not sure, and I'm worried. I'm anxious. Listen, those aren't the fruit of the Spirit. These are indicators of moving away from hope. So maybe you just need someone to agree with you quickly before it escalates. But if you go, man, I'm worried about my grandkids. I'm anxious about what my economy. Those are just indicators of you're losing hope. Hope is evaporating. Just come and let's agree with you in prayer. So we're going to dismiss. If you don't need prayer, head that way. If you do need prayer, head this way. And we want to bless you. Okay, God bless you guys. Thank you. We'll see you tonight, 6:30. See you tonight.